Please turn in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, you'll find that on page 606 of the Supplied Bibles. Psalm 90. Today I want to preach to you from the Westminster Larger Catechism, question number 7. It is a large question with several supporting answers. That question is, what is God? And this morning, we will look at the answer, God is eternal. God is eternal. Because today I want you to learn to set your watch by the Creator of time. Set your watch by the Creator of time. God's eternality, we've already heard mention that 1,000 years to the Lord is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. I would like you to think about the prophet Jonah, swallowed by the great fish until he would be obedient to the Lord. And there's a dark part of that we don't often spend time thinking about. Place yourself in Jonah's place. You have been through a storm, thrown overboard, and now you are in the belly of a great fish. There's no light there for 3 days. All you hear is boom, 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 the heart of that fish. And there's another sound you hear, that gurgling of digestion. And you wonder, what's going to happen to you? Stomach acids are working on your skin and your hair. And you are constantly wet for 3 dark. A terrifying 1 minute must have been. Now consider Mary, a young girl, right on the verge of starting adult life, about to get married, still a child, really. And all of a sudden, God sends an angel, and she finds out that she's going to be with child, and not just with child, but with a miraculous child. This quickly, her whole life changed. We sometimes say, how long, Lord? And we want him to rush. And other times, the Lord upends our apple cart. And we are shocked by the suddenness of it. But because the Lord is eternal, he is not shocked, and his timing is perfect. And even in the dark, or in the light, we can trust that. In this psalm, we see that Moses recognizes the eternity of God. Hear these verses, 1 and 2 and 4. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. We have experienced the weight of 1,000 years. It could be something as simple as when you want to make an appointment with your mechanic because there's a problem with your car, and he says, I can get you in about 3 weeks. And you start thinking, what am I going to do for the next 3 weeks? Is it going to break down on me while I'm on the road somewhere? Or if it's already broken down, you start thinking, how am I going to get to work for 3 weeks straight? And then there's the visit to the doctor. And that phone call afterward that says, get here right now. Stop everything. I need to see you immediately. But even in those moments, God's timing is perfect. He saw it already. one who lives outside of time. So for us, that 3 weeks waiting for the mechanic seems like an eternity. And that moment where the doctor says, get here right now, floods in our lives and seems like a second. But it's not the case for God in his eternality. And you don't escape the one who has all of time on his side. Verses 3, 5, and 7. Or verses 3 and then 5 to 7. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath. We have been dismayed. There's only so much time. God who exists outside of time, the one who created time, and I know that is a huge concept. I don't know if we'll ever be able to fully wrap our minds around it. But when the word says that there was nothing before God, that's exactly what it means. There wasn't even time. And so time is here, and God is here. He has been to the end already. And he has set for each one of us a calendar. And surely we've seen in life that that calendar for some includes only a day. For others, that calendar is a full 12 months. But consider the patience of God. We look around us and we see evil. And we say, how much longer, Lord, before you act? Lord, we're trying so hard to do the right thing and look at them. Look at the evil they do. Why don't you act? But beloved, the Lord is not slow as we count slowness. You see, there was a time when your head was on that chopping block. And he was patient with you. Gave you time to hear and to see and to taste and to repent. And now he calls for you to have a heart like his. And you look at the evil people and you say, thank you, Lord, they had another day to repent. They have another chance, because we have people like that in our own families. And as we call for his lightning bolt upon the members of someone else's family, maybe there's somebody not just in our family, maybe even in our own home, who has not yet bent the knee. And God is being patient with them. And there is another aspect to God's patience that we have to think about. There's an old saying. It goes something like this. Giving him enough rope to hang himself. We sometimes want to say that it's not fair, Lord. It's hard for those in our denomination as Calvinists to say to people that God decides heaven or hell. But here's the thing to remember. If a man lives 80 years like a demon, when that man stands before God, he will know that he's been given 80 years of rope, and all he's done is fashioned a noose around his neck to hang himself with, because he didn't bow the knee. He had time. No one will say to God, it's not fair. But you who belong to him, you're able to say, he gave me enough time And now I'm his. And I'll be his forever. Within this, God has given you limits in your time. Here, verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 90. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone. And we fly away. Do you make the most of your time? You only get so much. How much of it is consumed by self versus being consumed by worship of God and love for neighbor? Do you make the most of your time? Because it's a whisper, and to dust we will return. We are like the trees in the spring. Our leaves, they sprout, green and beautiful. At the right time, our flowers bloom in the prime of our lives. And then when the cold winter sets in again, our leaf falls to the ground and becomes dust again. But in that amount of time, you've been given everything you needed. You've been given every hour, every minute, and every second you need to accomplish everything God has in mind for you. Absolutely every. Sometimes it seems like we just don't have enough time. Lord, I want to do great things for you. I want to travel here, and I want to read that, and I want to talk to this one, and I want to. God is giving you every second you need to accomplish everything he wants from you. Like the tree, your leaf will come forth, your flower will bloom, you will bear fruit, the fruit will fall, and its seed will grow. And at the end of your season, your leaf will fall. The psalmist, you can tell here, is a bit tired. Been a long season. How many of you have had a long season? But at the end of your season, beloved, your seed will grow fruit. And you will be in the garden of God Almighty. You have every second you need because of the eternality of the God who created time itself and gifted it to you. Consider God's favor toward you. Verse 13, do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. How beautiful is verse 15. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Do you remember what the Lord has taught us about the Sabbath and about resting the land? When the Jews were taken into captivity, the land rested and then was given back to them. And they had an even greater period of joy than the years in which they were afflicted. In this life, you'll have affliction. This life contrary to what some teach today, is not your best life. This is a hard life. The psalmist is not afraid to say that. This is a hard life. We age. We get sick. We are sometimes at the whims of evil men. We feel the cold and the heat. We get tired. But beloved, this is less than a day to the Lord. This is less than a day for your eternity. The time it takes you to snap your fingers, your lifetime here, but can you imagine how fast that goes by in eternity? Think of the word forever. If you belong to Jesus Christ today, forever is yours. In eternity with Almighty God. The Apostle Paul said he didn't consider the afflictions of this world worth comparing to the greatness of what's coming after it. And this was a man who had been shipwrecked, beaten, jailed, betrayed, stoned. And you know what he said? He said, so what? So what? This isn't even worth comparing to the greatness to come. You know why? Because of the eternality of God. It's his to give. And he gives it to those he loves. Let's turn back to Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1196. Hebrews chapter 1. And we needed to go through Psalm 90 to really appreciate what's going on here. We heard these verses in Psalm 45. We'll hear them again now. Listen to God's favor towards you in Christ Jesus, from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The last days. Paul understood that wasn't a 24-hour period. It was a time frame, and we are still in the last days, but they are only days compared to eternity. And so God, in order to make sure that we got it, said, okay, it was written, and it was taught, and it was spoken, but now you're going to see the word. You're going to touch the word. You're going to feel the word. You are going to have the word made more sure. And this is what he did for you in Jesus Christ. God, who exists outside of time, stepped into time for you. The Creator entered into his creation and allowed himself to be bound by its rules for a time for your sake, so that you would understand that this hard day is not forever. Not forever. Verse 8, hear this. But of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. This, when people come to you and say that Jesus is not God. You point to this and you say, yes, he is. The Father said so. And his throne is forever and ever. What does that mean to you? Who rules on the throne but the king? Who sets the rules for the kingdom? The king. And so the promises that you have from God through Jesus Christ are forever and ever, because his throne is forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Do you know what a scepter is for a king? It's that beautiful staff that he holds. The one who holds that is recognized as the ruler. Some kings, they have a wicked scepter because they do evil. But the scepter of God is the righteous scepter. What is righteousness? It is his truth. It's his faithfulness. It's his justice. It's his peace. That is the symbol, the emblem of the kingdom of Christ. And it's where you'll live forever and ever if you are his. These painful days are not worth comparing, beloved. They're not worth comparing. Here, verses 10 through 12. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. They will perish, but you remain. And they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? The enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, are a footstool to him. Can you imagine that? You suffer, you feel the pain, you agonize. But in time, you, with your heavenly brother, Jesus Christ, will have these enemies as a footstool for your feet. And when you sit down, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more growing old, no more fear, no more tiredness, no more loneliness, no more doubt, no darkness. Because all of these will be a footstool under the feet of Jesus. So today, beloved, today, set your watch by the Creator of time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mighty God, help us to have the perspective of life that sees through an eternal lens. We suffer. You give us divine appointments that sometimes we would never have ever wanted. But these things are just for a moment. And in that moment, they can glorify you. They can mature us and make us better able to love our neighbor. So help us to set our watch by you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.